remain standing for the reading of God's Word. It would just call to my attention that we are scheduled next Sunday to be at the Veterans Center. I failed to put that down. And that's not going to change our plans with Brother Gray. So next Sunday we get an opportunity to be in four church services. Sunday school, Sunday morning worship, Nursing Veterans Center, and then back Sunday night. And I heard, or not heard, I read in the paper just this maybe yesterday, the day before, that the I think the president of the people in the, I don't remember the word. He's one of the what do you call him? Somebody help me. I've lost the word. One of the people that is in the nursing home, who is the president of the over the people that are in there, died. Huh?
No.
No, no. He is one of the veterans, and he is. Somebody help me. What they call the people that's there? Resident. He is a president over the residents. He's a resident president. Was. And I read where he passed away, and in the paper. All right. I want to ask you to turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians. We've not been there in a long time. Lord willing, we've got about today and three more messages to get through chapter 3. And then we're going to try our best to get into 4 and 5. I want to, because it's been so long since we've preached from this book, I want to begin in verse 1 of the chapter this morning and read right on down through the text that I want to be preaching from here in the morning hour. In verse number 1, I better remember this now, put it on or I forget it. Verse number 1, Brother Paul says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that portion of Scripture this morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, I'm thankful for the good singing this morning, the good Sunday school hour. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to assemble together. I pray for your divine presence, for your divine grace and power and mercy and love to be manifest in this place. And Lord, to flood every heart with the great love of God that's been shed abroad there. I pray that you'd speak to sinners and deliver them from sin, bringing them out of the prison house and setting them at liberty in the Lord Jesus. I pray today you'd revive the spirit of your people. And God bless me that I might be a blessing. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, with power and with wisdom, and enable me with great liberty, I pray, to preach this message you've laid upon my heart. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our text this morning and our thought is found in verse 9 and 10. where Paul said there, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." I want to preach a simple thought this morning and tonight both, if the Lord will lead me. Not the same thing tonight, but really two different messages, but both of them quite simple on their thought. But I want to preach this morning on the thought of loving others. Just simply loving others. I think the greatest of the virtues that's found in the Word of God is love. Now, abideth faith, hope, charity. But the greatest of these is charity. I found that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so, and things not seen is where we get our hope. And so faith is really the substance of our hope. And when there's very little faith, then there's very little hope. And when there's very little hope, there's very little charity. And I want to preach on that for a little while this morning, if God will help me, simply on loving others or loving other people. I think the theme in this chapter, in chapter number 3, that I've found to be is the great love for the believers in Thessalonica, or Paul's great love for those believers there in the church at Thessalonica. And I would say that this sets an example that you and I should diligently follow and pattern our lives after. If the Lord loved people, and He did, you cannot deny the fact that God loves humanity. For the Bible said, God commendeth His love toward us, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And no man could say that Christ did not love unlovely sinners. He loved you and I when we were unlovely, unable to be loved, and yet He overcame that barrier and loved us enough to die in our place. And if the Lord loved us, and certainly I think Paul loved these people, he had a desire to see them. He had a desire to know about their well-being and their spiritual condition. And I think we'd all have to come to the conclusion that Paul had a love for these people in that church. And if the Lord loved the people, and if Christ, Paul and the Lord loved people, then there ought to be a pattern there for you and I to follow. That we also ought to love one another. I'm telling you, that is a great virtue that is overlooked in Baptist churches. There was a time in most independent Baptist churches that to be a real preacher, that you had to at least knock down 3 90-year-old women every week. And cuss them out and call them bad names to make a reputation of how mean you could be in the pulpit. But I will tell you, that is totally contrary to what the Bible teaches. I never found the Lord being mean to anybody. I have found Him rebuking people for their sin, but I never found Him speaking in a hateful manner or being ugly or mean just because He had that kind of authority and could be that. But I'm telling you, we've overlooked that great virtue of love. And husbands ought to love their wives. Men ought to love the Lord. And we certainly ought to love others and love one another. And He gives us that pattern here that we can ought to diligently follow after. Now listen carefully. Humans, unlike God, must learn to love. We do not come out of the womb loving, ladies and gentlemen. Love is something that is difficult for fallen humanity, for depraved and deceitful hearts to be able to overcome and to accomplish. And may I say that even in our regenerate state, that it is difficult to love people, especially people that don't love you. Come on in the house, boys and girls. I'll get to that point in a minute. But we are called upon to love those that don't love us. Paul called upon preachers and men of God to love people that even oppose themselves. They're warring against themselves, and they're called upon by that great apostle to love them. But our love must be cultivated. We must learn how to love, and then we must cultivate that love to make it productive. I'm amazed at the cold and calloused hearts in Baptist churches today. And rather than looking for an opportunity to express our love, I'm afraid many times we look for an opportunity to get even. Or we look for an opportunity to express our hatred and animosity towards someone by getting even for something, a trespass that they may have committed against us, when we really ought to love them. But may I say to you that God, on the contrary, does not have to learn how to love. He is love. He does not have to learn how to cultivate His love, because He is love. He does not, and He is not the essence of love. He is love. For God is love, ladies and gentlemen. And whatever love is, God is that. And may I say that a man may say he loves his wife. But I'm telling you, until he learns how to love God, he don't love his wife. 99% luster. Let me go a little further than that. 99.44% lust at first sight. I've heard men say it was love at first sight. Generally, it's lust at first sight. Because, and by the way, a man that is lost will never learn how to love. He'll never learn how to express his love. Come on in the house. I know some of your children. All of them. And if you want to find out how much love is in a family and a home, watch how little Johnny and Susie acts around the house of God. There are some children that do not know how to express love to somebody else. And I'm going to tell you the reason they don't. It's because they don't see any love being expressed in the home. Come on, men. It's nothing wrong with telling your child, I love you. Putting your arms around them and hugging their neck. There's not even anything wrong with them hearing you tell your sweetie that you love her. And vice versa, ladies. It is a two-way street. But God doesn't have to be taught how to love. He is love. But you and I must be taught. And it must be cultivated. And then that love must be, God's love, must be allowed to flow through us, that it may affect and impact those around us. I want to ask you something today. How did you get saved? Oh, somebody said, by hearing the gospel. Thank God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I want to ask you something. Where did you see the love of God any greater displayed than the cross? And are we not called upon to be witnesses for our Lord? I say we are. And we're to be witnesses of His love. As He laid down His life to save you and I, we cannot express that love to others until we ourselves, church, learn to lay down our lives that it may affect and touch other people. Come on in the house. I won't say, starting with it, the Scriptures command that we love other people. You remember the lawyer in Luke 10? I just preached on him not long ago on the Good Samaritan. And that lawyer in Luke chapter number 10, who tempted the Lord by asking Him what he could do to inherit eternal life. And the Lord said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he said, and he answering, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy strength and thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind,
and thy neighbor as thyself. And ladies and gentlemen, our neighbor is more than somebody living next door. But our neighbor could very well be anybody that's in need. I think I can prove that by the Samaritan and the man that fell among the thieves and was stripped and robbed of what he had. And so our neighbors is other people. And our Lord is other people. And may I say one more time that you will never learn how to love others until you know how to love the Lord? My God, how can we be so cold? When we survey the wondrous cross that Christ died upon and manifest all the love of God in glory when His Son died on that cross at the hands of sinners, that you and I might be saved. What great love. And how can we not love our Lord? By the way, He is others. I'm preaching on loving others. And most folks don't even know how to love the Lord. How have we grown so calloused? How have we drifted so far from that cord of kindness that reached out and got a hold of our heart and drew us to the cross and cast our soul upon Christ and delivered us from the power of sin? How have we drifted so far from that and gotten so cold? And I'm going to tell you, it won't be long until His love for us. Now, I know He loves us, but I'm here to tell you that if we don't learn to love Him and express that love back, we're going to find His love gets awful cold, because a one-sided love affair never works. It won't love in your merit work in your marriage. A woman may love a man to death, and if that man never responds to that love, or vice versa, I'm telling you that marriage is in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. And so it is with you and I in our relationship to Christ. If he showed and revealed His love and we never expressed that love back to Him, our hearts will go cold. And I'll tell you, there will be a wedge, God, between us. And I'm afraid that it's already there in the house of God. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. And we're there, buddy. I'm going to tell you why we are. Because we love the world and we love sin more than we let on like we do. And we're lazy. It takes a little time, hard work, to seek after God. And there's very few panting hearts in our midst today. Come on in the house. Oh, we want the blessings, but we want them without the blesser. And don't realize if you get the blesser, you'll have the blessings along with it. Are you listening? Amen. Come on in the house. So we're commanding the Scriptures to love others. We ought to love the Savior. May I say that we ought to love the saints? And I'll get to my message in a minute. I'm meddling. We ought to love the saints. I was saying 1 John 4:20-21, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. Don't you tell me you love God when you cannot love your brother or sister in Christ. And by the way, don't tell me we love them if we're never expressing our love toward them. Won't work. Man's a liar that says he loves God and hates his brother. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath, or him that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. I'm telling you, there is a bond of love between saints. And that bond is the love of God that's been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, if you are a possessor of the Holy Ghost today, your love will not come warm and cold and on and off and up and down toward those around you. Somebody may kick you off. But I'll tell you, if you're right with God, you'll go on loving them, buddy. Come on in the house. Amen. Loving others has no place for a selfish heart and a selfish spirit. Christ in no way was selfish, ladies and gentlemen, when He loved you and I. He held back nothing from us, and He never, never, one time ever did one thing for His own benefit. It was always for somebody else. The bread and the fish is for somebody else. The coin in the mouth of the fish for Peter, for somebody else. Healing the sick, raising the dead, opening blinded eyes, for somebody else. I'm telling you, we're hung up on self rather than somebody else in our churches today. God help us. And you'll never be happy until you love other people and serve them. If you learn to love others and serve others, you'll be the happiest person in the world. And you'll learn a whole lot of things that you feel like you're deprived of, you'll have. If we'd ever get to the point where we couldn't do enough for each other.
Amen.
Amen. That includes your preacher. You got anybody else to say it? I'll say it.
Amen.
I'll be honest with you. I'm seeing it drifting. And I don't desire a gift from you. But I've watched some of you out there in the birthdays and the Christmas and things. Some of you could give a flip less what's going on out there.
Amen.
You know what that tells me? You don't give a flip about your pastor. He prays for you. He tries to preach to you. He tries to counsel you from the pulpit. And if so, then you ought to learn to love that man of God. As Brother Thompson would say,
Amen.
That's right. Love the saints. I'll say we ought to love the sinner.
Amen.
You know, in John 11, when the Lord was called to go down to Lazarus, he had been dead 4 days and was really starting to stink. God raised him from the dead. I'm still going to preach one of these days on the day Jesus raised the stink. Amen. But he went down to where it was. And Martha came out. Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not have died. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, shall never die. Mary came out. Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother had not have died. Jesus said, show me where you laid him. And the Bible said, Jesus wept. Get a hold of this. You know what the Jews, their verse responded? Oh, how he loved him. I'm telling you, he loved him as a sinner. God help us to learn to love sinners. We look at folks depraved and want to criticize them. Because they don't look like we do. Act like we do. I've got news for you, sweet pea. You don't look like you used to. And you don't act the way you used to act. But I'll go on and say this, the way some of you are acting now, you act better when you were lost than you are when you claim to be saved.
Amen.
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 You're friendlier, had a better spirit, had more joy. What happened? love has waned cold. Come on in the house. Lord, love sinners. I read a story about G. Campbell Morgan one time, and a man went to, I'll think of the Westminster in England where he pastored. And there was a janitor there. And that man visited that, and Mr. Campbell had left, and another preacher was there pastoring that church. And the story said that the visitor walked in, wanted to see the church and everything, and just so happened the janitor was there cleaning the building. And he asked him, said, "Can I see Mr. Morgan where he used to sit and study?" He said, "Certainly, it's right in the office. I'll be glad to go in with you." And the man asked him, said, "What made G. Campbell Morgan so great? What made him the great preacher that he was?" And that man said, "Mr. Morgan would sit at this desk, lay his face in his hands, and tears would run off his elbows because he loved sinners." Amen. I'm telling you, we don't love sinners. Amen. David Brainerd was traced in the snow on wintry days by the blood that he dripped from his frozen feet. Amen. Telling Indians about the saving grace of our Lord. Amen. Are we listening today?
Amen.
What have we done lately to show our love for sinners? Amen. When was the last time we told somebody about Christ?
Amen.
When was the last time we made a visit and told somebody, "I'm just here because I'm concerned about your soul. I'm here because I don't want you to go to hell. I'm here." When was the last time we prayed and put prayer, a feet on our prayers and went and told somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I won't say we're to love our enemies. I read a statement the other day that floored me. It said, when you're under persecution, love your enemies. And I had to scratch my head. But I thought, Lord, that's exactly what David did. Saul was in hot pursuit. And David had an opportunity to kill him more than once.
Amen.
Said, "God forbid that I should touch God's anointed."
Amen.
There was an enemy. David said, "Let God handle him." I tell you, we'd all be better off if we'd let God handle our enemies and love them and pray for them. And if they don't ever get right, you know what your praying will do? It'll heap coals of fire on their head. It'll bring greater judgment on them. Because that person that they're pursuing and persecuting still loves them in spite of it. Listen to what he's saying. Jesus said in Luke 6:27, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you." And in verse 32 he says, "For if we love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them."
Amen.
A sinner can love somebody that loves them. It's not hard for me to love my wife. Boy, if you could read some of the emails. Woo! Hallelujah. See them eyes like I see them eyes. Hear them words that I hear. It's not hard to love somebody that loves you, folks. When love is mutual, it's wonderful. But I'm telling you, when there's adversity between lovers, there's big problems.
Amen.
And somebody may become your enemy in their mind. God help us in a church to learn to love each member regardless of their love for us.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. If we'd all learned to love that way, you wouldn't have any enemies.
Amen.
You can't love and pray for somebody that's really your enemy. I mean, and stay that way. Are you listening? I hope so.
Amen.
Have I got to finally got to the message? Whew.
Amen.
My watch is broke. Somebody tell me what time it is. 10 after 12. Boy, time's slow today. The evidence of that love is right here in the text. You realize four times in these two verses, four times, Paul uses the word you, four times, buddy. Four times he said in this word, there's words of endearment to those people because of his love, and the chapter is just full of it. Notice the first thing in verse number nine. For what thanks can we render to God again? Not for what God's done for me. Not for what God has done for me, but what God has done for you.
Amen.
And Paul here is saying, what can I thank God for anything more? If you look through chapter 1 and chapter 2, and I believe it's in chapter 1, verse 2, and chapter 2, verse number 12, that Paul has already thanked God twice for these people. But he finds himself here one more time thanking God for those that he saw saved. I wonder if you and I are that spiritual that we can thank God. Hey, are we thankful when others find pardon? That prodigal son in Luke 15 went down to the hog pen and wallowed in the slop with the pigs. Spent everything that his father had given him, all of his inheritance. And when he came to himself and came home, the father was there with open arms to meet him. But there was a grumbling, griping, bickering elder brother that could not find a place in his heart to love his own brother that had just been saved by the grace of God. And that is the course of that whole parable. Rejoicing over the one lamb that was found, over the 99. Rejoicing over the coin that was found. And rejoicing over the son that was found. Let me ask you this morning. That boy wasn't thankful that his brother got saved. He regretted it. Rather than bringing a thankful spirit and a thankful heart, he regretted the fact that his brother had even gotten saved. Come on in the house. We ought not only be thankful for their pardon, but we ought to be thankful for their prosperity, both spiritual and secular. I want to ask you a question. Well, before we get there, I ain't got there yet. I won't get there too quick. Remember in Luke 19? Luke 19, come on now, I want you to listen to me. I want to help our church. In Luke 19, the Lord gave His servants, He gave them one 10 pounds, one 5 pound, one 1 pound. The one with 10 pounds gained. The one had 1 pound, he gained 10. Another had a pound, he gained 5. Another had a pound, and he gained absolutely nothing. And here's what the Lord said. He said, take from him the pound and give it to the man with 10 pounds. And here was the reply of those people that were there. Lord, he hath 10 pounds. My God, Lord, you've already blessed him with 10 pounds. Why do you want to take one little pound from this man and give it to somebody that's already got 10 pounds? They could not rejoice in the prosperity of somebody else. Now, I'm telling you, we're so hard-hearted today that God can dump the honey bucket over on somebody else. And rather than being thankful that God's blessing them,
amen,
we want to be like that elder brother.
Right.
Begin to grumble,
amen,
gripe, moan and groan. Come on in the house.
Amen.
Or to be thankful for, amen, the peace that God gives others.
Amen.
I want to ask you this morning. Stay with me. Can you truly thank God for someone who is living in peace? Your own life is turned upside down.
Amen.
Lord, I'm upside down in my life. If if you would try thanking God for the prosperity and peace and pardon of somebody else, God might endow you with the same rich blessing that He has them.
I'm going to tell you the way to get is to give. And we've never learned to give. The reason some folks live in financial poverty, they've never learned to give. Tightwads, greedy, chintzy. That's why we can't have some of the blessings of Christ. We've never learned and enjoy His love because we've never learned to love somebody else and to be thankful for somebody else and their prosperity. Notice the second thing in the same verse. For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy. For your sakes before God. He's not rejoicing. See, not only a thankful heart, but a joyful spirit. He's not, hey, that's an evidence of loving somebody else. Paul is not only thankful for them, but he's rejoicing for them. He has got joy because of what God has done for them. Again, I go to that prodigal son. When that boy had come home from the hog pen, and there was music and dancing coming from the house. And he come up out of the field, and he heard that music and dancing. And a servant came out to meet him. The Bible says this. The Bible said that servant came out to meet him, and an elder brother said, "What meaneth this?" That servant said, "Your son, it was lost. They've killed the fatted calf because he was lost, and now he's found. And there's rejoicing." And here's what the next verse says. "And the boy's father went out and entreated him, pleaded with him. Come in and experience the joy that we have." And the Bible said, "But he would not come." I tell you, some of you are so hard-headed. You are hard-headed. The joy is available. God loved you. God died for you. God saved you. And the Father has entreated you to come on into the house where the fun's going on. And you won't. I don't believe it that way. You're wrong. Well, I can't rejoice like that. I bet if you caught a big fish, you'd get happy. I bet if you killed a cloud pointer, you'd get happy. We can get happy over a stupid fish, a deer, a pocket knife, a pistol, or a rifle than we can over God. No joy in the elder brother. Who was the true prodigal in the story, by the way? And I know the Father's entreated some of you. I've got to the point. I heard Brother Simpson preach this morning. He said some old man, he went to preach in a church that had been there, I thought he said 22 years, every year preaching. And that old man, he'd up with arthritis and this and that, and he was up there this, I guess, this past year, and said he only got 12 people. Then Brother Simpson got to preaching and said that old man got up to running. Said he had arthritis, so bad, been hitting the rear end in an automobile wreck. Said he couldn't hardly get around. But he said, Brother Simpson said, "It made me feel happy that somebody else was happy. Can we not rejoice when they rejoice and weep when they weep?" I'll tell you another thing he said this morning. He said, "Some of you people in here want the best for your children and grandchildren. You don't want to have them to rough it like you did." He said, "Can I tell you something good to give to your teenagers that'll be good for them?" He said, "A job application." Amen. Want to lay everything in their lap. I have never charged a dime for that school in years back there. And I've learned because there's no charge, there's no responsibility to it. We drift through it and float through it and float along because it's costing us nothing. I've learned that sometimes cost will help us appreciate what we get. Then notice thirdly, there was intercessory prayer. Look at verse number 10.
Night and day, not just occasionally. Night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face. You realize that intercessory prayer is the highest place of prayer. It is the place nearest to the Lord. When Jesus ascended back as our intercessor, it was at the right hand of God.
Amen.
And it also provides a greater reward. I wonder how many intercessors we got for others. God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and the destruction of that city brought no gain whatsoever to Abraham. But he went out and stood before God and prayed for that city. And he gave up too soon. And I believe the reason he gave up, he thought surely Lot and his wife and Lot's family would be saved. They weren't. He stood before God. I'm telling you, if we love somebody, we'll pray for them especially. Oh, yes. We'll pray for them for God to comfort them, help them, bless them, strengthen them. We find folks in trouble and we're so wrapped up in our own troubles that we can't pray for them. Then there was a desire for unified faith. He said that, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. A desire for unified faith. Paul said in Ephesians 4:13, till we all come in the unity of the faith.
Amen.
And of all the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I got news for you. Everybody in here is not on the same level of faith.
Amen.
Paul wanted them to be unified in faith together. I've got three other little things and I'm done. Not only the evidence of that love, but if we love others, there will be an esteeming of others above ourselves.
Amen.
Paul said in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves.
Amen.
When was the last time you heard somebody do that? Most of the time, when folks get together and they won't start running their mouth, it is to criticize somebody else. Hey, get the mold out of your eye, buckwheat. Get the bean out of your eye. It's to drag somebody down and to tell somebody that is dumb enough to listen. How bad and how horrible so-and-so is. That makes me regurgitate. No, that makes me puke.
Amen.
The last time you esteem somebody else better than you.
Amen.
Really. I'm going to be honest with you, and I say this as humbly as I can. I like to hear you say, Richard, the preacher helped me this morning. I like to hear anybody say that. But I don't like to hear people get up and say, praise God, you're a good preacher. Man, I'm telling you, man, you got it. You're a fireball, man. You know that book. You study.
Amen.
I heard a fellow telling Brother Smith back there in the back room a long time ago. And I happened to be in the tape room. He's telling me, saying, you know, you're a better preacher than he is. Well, man, you ought to be pastor in this church. Did he? Oh, am I telling it right or not, Brother Wayne? Amen! Most of the time when somebody is bragging on you in that way, you're a preacher. Instead of just saying, thank you, preacher, for the preaching, it helped me. When they're bragging that way, what they're trying to do is get you off their case.
Amen.
You done found a resting place.
Amen.
We'll be done in a minute. You esteem somebody else? Can you honestly say that other people do a better job at doing something than you do? Come on in the house. Then there's the exhorting of others. If we love them, we'll exhort them. Paul said in Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I want you to listen carefully. if we do not exhort other people, those who fail to exhort others will be hardened. And those who fail to be exhorted will be hardened. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the whole lump. That is the whole lump. Exhorting one another. One is you, another is them. And one is them, and another is you. And if it's not going on, not exhorting, that word means to encourage. That word means to comfort. That word means to slip your arm around somebody that's walking through valleys that is higher than they are and tell them you love them. You're praying for them and at least lend a helping hand if help can be given. Come on. Hebrews 10:25 said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Can I ask you a question? Is the day approaching? Do you really believe we're drawing nigh? I do. And some folks need a boost. I've got news for you. I've got feet of clay just like you have. And occasionally I've got to have a boost. I know that Christ is the only one that can really move our heart. But I'm telling you, Christ uses people to move the hearts of other people. Exhorting one another. And so much the more. As you see that day approaching, it's coming. The old songwriter said, she's coming around the mountain when she comes. And she's coming around the mountain, buddy. Amen. Then finally, if we love others, we'll evangelize them. We don't show much love when we neglect to evangelize a lost and a dying world. Personally, with the purse and with our prayers. Some people will stand before God naked with nothing because they could not get a hold of the fact that it's better and more blessed to give than it is to receive. Let's stand together. We had a love meter this morning. How high would yours register? We had a spiritual scale that measured love. What scale would yours be on? I'll tell you, I've had to bury myself, my face in shame, preparing for this. God help me. We got to have revival, ladies and gentlemen. It's revival or ruin. And by the way, I'm scheduled to talk to Brother Sutherland and Brother Shepherd about our youth revival. And it's not going to be long down the road, I'm telling you that. What is this morning? Let me ask you this. You really say, have a hard time loving somebody because you have no love of your own? While these are praying, that would be a good opportunity for you to get out of the pew and come to Christ. Trust Him. It would be a good opportunity just to commit yourself fresh and anew to the service of God. Let somebody today know how much you love them. I'm going to tell you, sometimes it can come from us humans in such a small thing. It doesn't have to be a big thing. I got a little old email the other day from Andrew. He said, hi, Poppy. No, he said, hi, Dad Hall. Just wanted to write and tell you I love you. Sign that. That's all it took. That's all it took. Little thing. Benny walked up to me this morning. Give me a little old cross. Not much monetary value. But it let me know that he loved me. And a little old bookmark to go with it.
Sometimes some of the simplest things can show our love to somebody else. Sitting at the house Friday morning, the doorbell rang. It was Lisa and the kids. I wanted to come by and say hi. And the kids let me, Papa, I missed you and Lucy so much. Just little thing. 20 minutes is all it took. But it let me know they love me and miss me when I'm away. And everybody likes to be loved. Everybody. You do, you know you do. It is wonderful to be loved. That little old card Miss Hall gave me some time ago sits on our vanity. I set it right where I'd see it every time I go to the mirror in the bathroom. Three words you can't say too much or hear too often. I love you. How wonderful it is to be loved and to learn to love. Our Father, thank you for the morning hour. I pray you'll take thy word today and plow up the fallow ground, our hearts. Lord, that you'll break through the cold and callous spirit that we found ourselves in these days. Teach us thy ways and thy love, O God, and help us to love one another, love sinners, and love thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord,
chapter
155,
hymn book. To learn new page numbers, 155. Let's sing a verse of that.
Thank you for being here. See you tonight at 6. Shake hands. Tell somebody you love them.